We have been in a series called Holy Habits. We are looking at trying to diminish our bad habits, of which we have many, and to increase good habits, many that we love to do, have done, but maybe we struggle with them. Last week we looked at the habit of reading Scripture, getting into the habit of reading Scripture every day. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you read Scripture last week every day? Like, just took a moment to open your Bible, read a Scripture, or have something on your electronic device that gets you into the habit of reading Scripture. If you mentally raised your hand, great. If you didn't, let's just do it this week. Don't beat yourself up. But I want to tell you, there is some beauty and power in just a simple act of opening up God's Word and reading it on a daily basis. I found myself in the middle of the week. I didn't know, some of us, Donna Gibson, you live right down the street from Quarry Trails Park, which is just this beautiful trail. I've lived here for 22 years and have never set foot there. So this week I said, I'm gonna go. And I've told y'all in the past, like, you know, look, brothers don't do good in the woods, okay? So, when I'm going on a hike, I go with a lot of caution because I don't know where I'm going. I was trying to find, I heard there's a waterfall somewhere back there, and I took one route, couldn't find it, took another route, couldn't find it, and that's when I said, here's a nice stream of water. Let's just go here. So what I did is I got to the stream, and it was so quiet except for the sound of the running water. And so I opened my Bible to Psalm 42, which starts off as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. There was just something about reading that scripture in that setting that, man, just the power of the Holy Spirit just took me in. And all I heard, all I noticed, all I felt was the sound of that water and the feeling of my soul wanting to be close to God. That's the power of Scripture and reading Scripture. So if you don't have a habit of daily reading Scripture, read your Bibles every day. Let's read Luke chapter 11. Verse number 1-4. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. I'm in the wrong book. It's like, that's not how I rehearsed it. He was praying. That makes way more sense. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" How many of you believe that prayer impacts or changes things? How many of y'all believe that prayer changes things, impacts things? One of my favorite stories related to prayer, I'm sure I've told this story before, is when my oldest daughter, she was, I don't know, 4, and she had did something really bad, and she was in trouble. Now, I'm a pretty mild-mannered, don't get upset a lot, but when I get upset, I get upset, and I was really upset. So I sent Caitlin to her room, and I said, "You just wait there for me to come up there. I grew up with my parents, so I know how to do this, right? My parents were like, they were great at doing that. They made me wait. So I remember, I calmed down, I cooled down. I went upstairs so that she could receive her discipline. And so I walked in the room, and she's laying in her bed. And I said, "Caitlin," and she said, "Dad, can we pray?" I said, "Yes." And we prayed, and I left the room. Prayer changes things. We believe prayer does something, even as we struggle to see the results of prayer. That is a spiritual tension that we live in daily. Weeks ago, I asked you to pray for my aunt, who was having some difficulty in some health issues. And in class today, Brother John Hess asked about her, and I shared with the class that my aunt is doing very good right now. She had a problem with heart medicine that cost like $100,000, and the insurance says we're not paying for it. And she was in need of a kidney. And in the meantime, while we're praying for her to get a resolution to her medication, she got word that they had a kidney, so she had a successful kidney transplant, and they approved the medicine. Praise God. Answer prayer, right? And that's great. But what about those who've been asking for prayers for years to get rid of their health ailment? They're asking for a resolution to an issue that they have, and that resolution just hasn't come yet. We live in that tension, yet we still pray. We still ask for prayer. I think that's a beautiful witness. That while all prayers don't result in what we want all the time, we still pray. I have other friends who are in need of transplants, and we've been praying for years for them to get a transplant for a kidney. Yet we've been praying for my aunt for a few weeks, and man, she gets the call. Perhaps that is the reason we are making reportedly more requests for prayer, but we are praying less. And as I asked last week regarding the habit of reading scripture, what is our frequency of prayer as individuals? Take away prayers at meals, which those are significant prayers. I don't want to diminish spending time thanking God for the meal that you're about to eat, whether it's a big grand meal or a bag of potato chips. That's significant, to thank God for all that we have to eat. But take away those prayers. How often do we pray or spend meaningful time with God in prayer and silence and meditation? Followers of Jesus have been invited to follow in the footsteps, the footprints of Jesus, and there is no way to follow his footprints without witnessing the ginormous role that prayer played in his life. Just in the Gospel of Luke, the author records several instances of Jesus praying. Jesus prayed at his baptism. Jesus would often go to what's called solitary or quiet places, and he often prayed. Before choosing his 12 apostles, he prayed. He prayed before Peter made a confession about Jesus being the Christ, the Son of God. He prayed at his transfiguration. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his arrest. And he even prayed while he was hanging on the cross. He prayed often. Now, with the surplus of moments of Jesus praying and his disciples watching, there came a time when the disciples naturally asked, watching him pray, seeing him praying at all types of instances, good times, bad times, challenging times, struggle times, times when he prays all the time. His disciples, seeing that, one day came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The way John taught his disciples to pray. We want you to teach us to pray. There are some ideas that I believe come from this, and they're profound, yet simple, but they're no less profound. This: it's okay to ask for help. We live in a society where asking for help is somehow some sign of weakness or some sign of you're not valuable. No, ask for help. Who best to ask for help from than Jesus? It's okay to ask for help. If you're struggling in prayer, if you're struggling with how to pray or how often to pray or who to pray, ask someone. There is something else that I think is just really highlighted in this text, is that Jesus was more than willing to offer his help. Immediately, Jesus, or Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, when you pray, pray this way. Jesus had credibility because they saw him praying, which means he was a reliable source. I would say it's okay to ask for help, and also be prepared for people to ask you for help, and be a reliable source. Jesus taught and the disciples followed. The best evidence that Jesus' teaching took was that the early church, I mean, when you put the Gospel of Luke next to the book of Acts, it's as if you're reading the same story. Because in the book of Acts, we see a church that prayed often. Jesus prayed often and the church prayed often. In Acts chapter 1, they prayed after the ascension of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, they prayed when they were attempting to replace Judas, and they eventually chose Matthias. In Acts 2:42, one of the marks of the early church is that they prayed every day with one another. In Acts chapter 4, they prayed that Peter and John would be released. They prayed after Peter and John were released by the Sanhedrin. They got together and they prayed, and the room where they prayed shook. They prayed when they were appointing servants to serve the widows in Acts chapter 6. They prayed when Peter was released from prison. They prayed while he was in prison and he was released. And when Peter came to the house where they were praying, they were still praying for him. They prayed and fast for Paul and Barnabas as they were sent out on a missionary journey. They prayed at the appointment of some elders in Acts chapter 14. They prayed with the Ephesian elders in chapter 20. They prayed on a beach in Tyre. They mimic Jesus. Jesus prayed often. The church prayed often. Some of these prayer moments were exact replicas of what they learned from Jesus. Take note that Jesus prayed as a regular practice, as a guide for his ministry, as a function of connecting with the Father, as a conversation to help him deal with pain and struggle, as a way of communicating forgiveness, as a way of sending and commissioning, and as a request for healing and setting the world right. For ages, prayer has been an opportunity for humans to connect and converse with the Almighty God. It is a conversation that we have largely viewed as just us speaking to God. But in prayer, there is time and room for talking and listening. A great deal of our prayer is about asking for things, but it's not limited to asking. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to. You ever been there where you just need someone to talk to, and you say to yourself, there's no one here for me to talk to, except that there is. God wants you to talk to him, to converse with him, to speak to him, and sometimes to just sit silent and listen. How often do we pray? Let's be real and let's be honest. Is prayer a good habit or a habit visited on occasion? There's a popular country artist named Jelly Roll. Y'all know who Jelly Roll is? He kind of looks like a big jelly roll, full of tattoos. One of his hit songs is a song called I Need a Favor. I found myself listening to this song a few weeks back, and it starts off, it goes this way. I had to edit some of the words, but I only talk to God when I need a favor, and I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who am I to expect a savior if I only talk to God when I need a favor? But God, I need a favor. When I first heard that song, I felt it. Essentially, he's saying, I only go to God when I need something, and I often only go and pray when I'm so desperate. Now, I admit I only go to God when I need something, but God, I really need something. Church, for many of us, that aptly describes our prayer lives. This is not an exposure of how bad we are or how weak of a Jesus follower we are. This is simply a depiction where many of us find ourselves when it comes to prayer. We probably say the word prayer or pray more than any other word in our collective experience with one another. There is much to pray about. We have members in this body who are hurting physically and dealing with diseases. And weekly, we are implored to pray for our brothers and sisters who are hurting spiritually, mentally, physically. There are sisters and brothers who are struggling to make sense of life. And while not everyone who is struggling makes it known all the time, we pray. We pray. And throughout the history of God's interaction with humankind, we have been implored to make prayer a regular practice in our lives. This from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. See, just as the Lord my God has charged me, I now teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call him? This from the New Testament, James chapter 5, verse number 13. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. So if we believe these wonderful words of life from Scripture on the topic of prayer, why are we asking more for people to pray for us, but praying less? It's like everything else. We've allowed life and bad habits to sap us, and pull us away from good habits. But here's another question. How many of us, when we heard, again, that the assassination attempt took place, how many of us just took a moment to pray? To pray for well-being, to pray for peace, to pray for safety, to pray for God to release us from this addiction to violence and blood. Why is that not our default setting? To pray. I hear people when there's a tragedy or a shooting, and they'll say things like, "Man, I'm sick and tired of hearing, thoughts and prayers." I'm not sick of it. We need to pray more. Daily, weekly, monthly gatherings together, individually, in the car. Just don't pray in the car yet. Just don't close your eyes when you're driving and praying. We need to pray at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray always. This is not a gotcha moment. This is not a moment to make us feel bad about our prayer lives. It's a prompt for us to just pray more. We are considering these holy habits, and we're doing so by pursuing small changes. The genesis of this thought is a thought taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, where it says, we take captive every thought, we make them obedient to Christ. We believe that in order to do that, we've got to employ small and simple habits in our lives. And so when it comes to scripture reading last week, I suggested just some small changes that will help us increase a good habit of reading scripture. I want to suggest some small changes in terms of increasing our good habit of prayer. As I suggested last week, one small change that we can make when it comes to prayer is setting aside a time to pray. From 7 to 7:10, that's my prayer time. I'm going to pray, or mornings, or I'm going to pray at lunchtime every day. I'm going to pray before I go to bed every time. And try your best to stick with a rhythm of praying at the same time every day. Christians, a large part of the Christian population, particularly the Protestant evangelical strand, one of the few religious groups that don't have a regular time of prayer. Do you notice that? Jews have regular times of prayer. Muslims have regular times of prayer. Not us. And we'll say because we're free from those scheduled times. But that means we can pray all the time. And we don't. Set a time to pray. When you pray, just talk to God. Just talk to Him. Don't worry about form. Don't worry about, I got to start it right. I got to end it right. Just talk to Him. You may find yourself in your prayer just spending 5 minutes just thanking God. Maybe you write down a list, put it by your bedside, so when you wake up, you can just pick up that list and you just thank God for it. Do a breath prayer. Anyone here ever done a breath prayer? A breath prayer is when you just inhale and you just say as many words as you can before you run out of breath, and at the end you say amen. And that's your prayer. There's another breath prayer. It's kind of weird, but it's kind of cool, where you simply just say the name of God as you just sit and meditate. You breathe in, and you breathe out. Did y'all hear that? I said, Yahweh, breathing in Yah, exhaling away. Maybe that's small changes. Small changes. Here's another idea. Connect with someone that you know prays. Let me tell y'all something, and I didn't get permission to single them out. I know that John Hess prays for me. I know he prays. Every day, John is looking, you know, John puts a calendar. If you have a bulletin, if you look on the back of the bulletin, on the reverse side of the songs, there's a calendar there with names to pray for this week. John spends time the entire year preparing a calendar to give us prompts to pray for. You may be, man, I don't know what to pray for. You have a resource. And you also have a resource and a person that I know he is praying. Connect with him. Wanda Ely, I didn't see her today. I know Wanda Ely prays. Because every time I call her on the phone and talk to her, she'll tell me in conversation, Dion, I was praying for you. Did I sound like her? Kind of, sort of. I've been praying for you. Connect with people who pray. Because I'm a believer that the habit of prayer coming from a person who prays all the time, it will rub off. Here's something else. Don't just pray when you need something. Pray because you need someone. Don't just pray because you need extra money, a new car, a better house, well-behaved kids. Those are all great needs. Pray because you need someone. You want to connect to God. You need words to pray? It's okay to pray prayers that have already been prayed. It's one of my favorite prayers, the prayer of Francis of Assisi. Hey, read this prayer with me. I think it's on the screen. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Wonderful prayer, several hundred years old, and can serve as words that we can borrow to pray. We talked about reading scripture last week. Did you know it's okay to pray scripture? Let's pray this prayer. This is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. I was stumbling because I'm used to saying it from memory. Maybe this is a prayer you could use. It's a real simple prayer. You're finding it hard to find words to pray? Pray these words that Jesus taught his disciples. Pray this with me. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. It's okay to pray the words of others. Prayer is an act of deep intimacy with God. Ultimately, that's what we long for, and deeply, this is our greatest need, closeness to God. Right now, I want us to pray with the assistance of a song. You should have a half sheet of paper that has the lyrics of the song, Abide With Me. My opinion, one of the greatest worded hymns ever. You can use those words to read along, to sing along if you like, or just listen. But I want this song to serve as a prompt for us to not just pray to get something, but to pray to signal closeness with God. Abide with me. Let's pray. As a church, we want to be helpful and encouraging to us all to increase and develop a good prayer habit. And the best way to do that is just through practice. So this week, I put together, I'll have these in the back on the table back there. It's just some ideas for you to try this week. Maybe if you don't find yourself praying and spending meaningful time in prayer every day, again, my advice, start small. Praying scripture is a good idea. Don't start with praying all of Psalm 119. Start with praying Psalm 23. Or start with praying the Lord's Prayer just every day, just as a regular practice. And at the end of the week, just think back to yourself, like, what did that do? So these will be in the back. Gene Scheibner brought a bunch of our daily breads. Y'all familiar with this? This is something that's been produced for years, many, many years. They're still producing them. And you can find them in different places. And I'll look into maybe just ordering some and having them available. You need a prayer prompt here. Here's a good idea for a daily prayer prompt, our daily bread. As you're leaving today, if you look to the left, there's going to be a table that have a bunch of these mini journals. We have enough for everyone here to get one of those, and probably some if you have a friend or a loved one that's not here, you want to get one too, you can take one. It has a nice pen with it, nice little prayer journals. In some of the exercises that are in the list there are some prompts for you to write in a journal. You're probably saying, well, I don't have a journal. You do now. And just use your journal to, you can use your journal to write down prayers, write down prayer requests. People ask for prayer requests. You know, I don't want to forget that. I'm going to write that down and then pray for that. And then use that as a reminder to go back to that person and say, hey, you had me praying for such and such. How is that going? And then record what they tell you about that. Or maybe you write the Lord's Prayer in your own words. Write this, Psalm 23, paraphrase Psalm 23 in your own words and use that as a prayer. But I hope this small token of our love will help you in your prayer habit. So please help yourself to one of those. Right now, I want to ask Bill Johnson and Kent Berry, Joe Boers in here, if y'all would come forward for a second. Bill Raper, is he in here? Yeah, you've come too. So the four of us, along with Joel Boer, I'm serving as your preaching minister. I also serve as one of the elders with Kent, Joel, and Bill. Bill is our deacon. We meet every Monday at 7:30. Usually on Zoom, but on occasion we'll meet in person. You need to know that the first thing we do, typically in recent weeks, is we start with a time in the Word. Someone here shares like a scriptural thought, and then we spend time in prayer, and then we spend time asking each other how we're doing. And, you know, if we're struggling with something, we'll share that and ask for prayers. And then we'll spend more time in prayer. You need to know that is the most important time of the meeting. It's not discussing budgets. We discuss budget. It's not discussing ideas and events. Those things are important too. The most important time of our gathering is when we pray. And we want to invite you to be there with us. If you ever have a prayer need or concern, you need to know that we together will pray for that.